This podcast contains sensitive topics such as murder, violence, and sexual abuse.
What if
you sound like the abominable snowman?
What if that's how I started every episode, just yawning or screaming or crying?
Yeah, what if you didn't? That'd be cool.
I made myself laugh so hard just now.
Yeah, you're like opening the podcast with a giant yawn.
Because I wasn't going to be so dramatic about it, but it felt right. I was just going to be like, you know, and what came out was not that at all.
Do you want to try it again?
All right, yeah, hold on.
Did you just open the podcast with a yawn? Are you serious right
now? That was completely unplanned.
Oh my god.
I'm keeping all of it. I'm gonna let
No, don't
directly after the intro, they're gonna hear Rawr! Anyways, welcome everyone to Listen Carefully Season 2. Today we're gonna be covering the Brooke Preston case.
So I actually found this very interesting because I've heard about this case from Kendall Ray. I heard her talk about it. She actually interviews.
I just watched that.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's actually how I originally heard about it. And she's a huge naysayer against what's the perpetrator's name? I feel like I should know this.
Randy Herman Jr.
That's right, Randy Herman Jr. Okay, I knew that. She's a huge naysayer against him. She's a huge supporter of the family. She's always very respectful to the victims. I love that about her. And she actually interviews the family during this
documentary video. Type thing. Yeah,
her video. Well, I have also seen Dead Asleep. I saw it after I saw that, and then I saw it again recently because I wanted to freshen up on why that was so controversial and whatnot. And I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence about this one, but
you're always on the fence.
I don't know. You know what it is? I think I'm just scared to be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I can see that 100%.
Yeah, I'm indecisive. Yeah.
Playing both sides.
No, honestly, I lean towards, I don't want to say it yet. We'll find out. But this is an interesting case because the sleepwalking defense has been used before. I don't think it's ever been really successful in the past, 30 years, but the most famous example, if I could just quickly dabble into that. Oh, we don't even know what the case is about. Let's just talk about that.
I know. You're so excited to show off your research. So let's get into it. I really liked that we're doing this case because it was the case that made me want to do this season where we talk about the biases in media, because I follow Jordan Preston on TikTok, and she was the one that has started exposing the Hulu documentary about her sister. So Jordan Preston was the sister of Brooke Preston, and they had a childhood friend named Randy Herman Jr. that they grew up with. And spoiler alert for what Lindsay's talking about is Randy Herman Jr. ended up murdering Brooke Preston and claimed it was because he was sleepwalking.
Now, how he came to that conclusion is also interesting. He didn't call 911 saying I was sleepwalking or I'm like, he actually came up to that conclusion later on.
After talking with the psychiatrist. So while we dive in, do you want to go over the timeline of events real quick? Just like a little background.
Yeah, sure. You could go kick that off.
All right, so Brooke and Jordan Preston grew up with Randy, was it Herman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just such a stupid name. it is. He's just so stupid. I hate this guy. They grew up with him. Everything was fine. Best friends. They called each other siblings. And then he started going through a rough time because his father allegedly killed his girlfriend and then killed himself. So Randy went through a big depression where he started to do drugs and drink. He got fired from being a corrections officer because of a failed drug test and then got 2 DUIs. And so his friends, Brooke and Jordan, were like, hey, man, you need a fresh start. Your dad left you like 25 grand. Come move to Florida with us and live with us and get yourself back together here.
And start over.
Start over. And he did. He went to West Palm Beach with Jordan and Brooke.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was an overall pretty fun and peaceful living arrangement. They used to hang out all the time, but as you know, time went on, they sort of started to drift apart and do their own thing. From what I understand, Randy was working at a meat processing plant, and then he eventually was working at like Comcast or something, but it was by commission, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, he was working like completely commission based for Comcast,
which sucks. That sucks. So then as he got like further and further into drinking and drugs, he was like, why don't I just not work at all? Like,
yeah, basically. Well, cause yeah, he, you know, clearly he was really struggling with like keeping a job. So like his whole thing was like, well, I have this money from my dad. I'm just going to kind of chill for a while, which of course, when you have an issue with alcohol and marijuana and partying and everything like that, you know, $25,000 doesn't keep you afloat for very long.
And he was like going big with the alcohol. Like he'd buy, you know, hundreds of dollars of alcohol and like have a party. And when you drink that much, you have to drink a lot to get drunk, and it's expensive.
Exactly. It's very expensive. Yeah.
And drugs are very expensive.
Yeah. All of it. Yeah, they never really specify what drugs. I think they're mostly talking about marijuana.
Yeah, when they say, like, drugs, unless they actually specify, like, it's cocaine or meth, it's probably just marijuana.
Yeah, probably just marijuana.
The drugs, you know. But let's talk about the fateful event that happened and the events leading up to it.
Yeah, so the three of them lived together for a while, and then in December of 2016, Brooke decided to move to New York to be with her long-term boyfriend. They had been doing the long-distance thing for a while, but he found her a job in New York. She, like, knew all of his coworkers and boss, and she was like, it's time for a change, which left Jordan and Randy to stay at the house. At this point, Jordan recalls that they barely saw each other. You know, Jordan had a full-time job. She was up early in the morning, and he was just like partying at night, going to bars, getting drunk with his friends. So they like rarely crossed paths when Brooke moved out.
So eventually, Brooke comes back to get her car and her remaining stuff. And she decides to spend some time with Randy while she's there.
Yeah. And she, Jordan picked her up from the airport, but then they dropped Jordan off at the airport later because she was going to Colorado. So, yeah. So then it was just Brooke and Randy. This was in March 24th, 2017. So, like a few months after she moved.
So they had been drinking all day. And then some unusual events transpired that night.
Yeah. So a guy named Kyle, I didn't get his last name, but was mutual friends with Brooke and Randy. And he gets a text message from Brooke that night that's basically like, you got to come get me, or like, I have to come to your house. Like, I can't be here anymore. Like, Randy's being really belligerent. He's making me scared. I like don't want to be here tonight. And so Kyle comes and picks her up, and he's like, what is going on? And then she tells him about the closet incident.
Right. So she was packing up her stuff, getting ready to leave, and then she heard Randy in her closet. So she opens the closet, and he's completely nude, and he just puts his finger over his mouth in a shh motion. And so that's when she, you know, she leaves the room, and she's really freaked out by that because he's hiding in her closet nude and then makes this weird gesture at her. It's like, what
That's that really would freak me menacing. Out so bad. Can you
Yeah, I'd probably
imagine?
cry.
Can you imagine how creepy that would be?
Yeah, and you're drunk
In the
too. Like,
closet? Like,
no, I
what
mean,
the fuck?
she's drunk. She's been drinking all
Oh,
day too. It's like, can you
yeah.
imagine? Like, what's she gonna do? Fight him off?
Oh, yeah. Her like childhood best friend is now like
Jesus.
laying on the floor naked in her closet. Like, oh my God, it's gotta really scare her.
So scary. So she leaves, and Brooke, being a nice person, even offers to Randy to join them for breakfast the next day. She texts him the next day and is like, hey, we're going out to breakfast. If you want to join us, let me know. And he's like, no, I'm too hungover. So, but he had a shirt that he wanted to give to Brooke's boyfriend, so she was going to come by and pick it up. And this is March 25th.
Fifth. Yep.
What time does she get there?
She gets there at 8:30 a.m.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, so it's after breakfast. She heads over to Randy's house to go pick up the t-shirt. The events that transpire are a little funky because it's completely from Randy's point of view. But I'll let you talk about that.
So essentially, Randy claims he has no recollection of what happens. He just looks down and sees that he's covered in blood with his hunting knife, and Brooke is deceased, having been stabbed. Do you remember how many times it was like 20?
20.
How
20
many?
times.
It was
20
20? Oh my
times.
gosh.
Exactly
I thought you
20.
said 20. I was like,
20
is it four?
times.
Is it 40 or 20?
Oh my
Goodness.
God. No, that's a big difference. But yeah, 20 times.
Yeah, so he runs out of the house, and he takes Brooke's car and drives it to a nearby park and calls 911 because he was so freaked out by it. And the 911 call is really strange. He's like, hey, there's been a murder. It was me. Sorry.
I know.
Like,
Yeah,
what the hell?
I'll play the clip.
Well, you don't have to because that was it. No, but please play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he calls 911, and the dispatcher's like, are you at the scene? Like, what's going on? Like, is the person okay? Like, can you do CPR? Like, they're like trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He just hangs up. He's like, click. He's like, not interested. What the heck? So the cops take him to the, to be interrogated. He's already confessed to murder, obviously, and they just want to figure out what they want to put it all together, what happened. He's really hard to understand in the interview. He's like, oh
Yeah,
no.
and
Like,
he's like
he's like,
whispering. He's like,
yeah, I don't understand. Like, I feel like he's trying to sound sad, honestly. I don't know. I don't know, man. But basically, he says he has no recollection of what happened. He just knows that it must have been him because he was the only one in the house and he was covered in blood, right?
well, and so that he they asked him, what happened when she came to the house. And he said that she came into the bedroom. He pointed at where the t-shirt was. She grabbed it, hugged him goodbye, and left the room. So that's important because that was like the very first thing he said that happened.
And then he said he went back to sleep.
Yes. And then woke up covered in her blood. Dun dun dun.
So, how do we get from here to the con to him instead of taking the plea deal for 30 years? I believe it was 30 years for second degree murder. Somehow he ends up at trial with a defense of sleepwalking. How did we get there?
After the initial interrogation, he was placed in custody, and while in custody, they had a psychiatrist speak with him to try to find out what they're missing. Because the police, they were really concerned about how did he end up from hugging her goodbye to stabbing her 20 times, and he said he could not remember anything. So they brought in a psychotherapist to sit down with him and try to like figure out why there's a lapse in consciousness here. And the psychiatrist claimed that it's possible he was sleepwalking. And it's so funny because whenever this comes up, this like initial conversation, whether it's on the Hulu documentary or on the YouTube video, They always talk about how his mom was like, yep, that's what it is. Yep, he, and then she just like tells all of these sleepwalking stories.
Which I thought were really weird stories.
They are very weird stories.
Yes, so one of them is like, oh, Randy went to get a drink of water and he brought down pancake mix when he was a kid. Like at night, like he walked in the kitchen, went to get a drink of water and he pulled pancake mix to pour in his cup.
How'd you know he went into the kitchen to get a drink of water?
Well, if he was, and then she said something to him. He didn't say anything. And then he just went back to his room.
Yeah.
The other story was that he rode his bike all the way to the bar where she works, came and sat at the bar, put his head down on the table, and then got up and rode his bike home.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she was like, he didn't even say anything to me. She's like, I knew he was sleepwalking. I could just tell. But also, like, I don't know how old he was, but like, Randy dabbled in drugs. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, that just sounds like something weird someone would do just to be weird.
I can see where you would think that, yes.
Why? Because I'm weird?
No, because I was thinking about the people we grew up with and like how many of them would do that. Like, we had the uncanny valley of friend groups that would just do weird things just for the purpose of being weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. I get what you mean.
So yeah. So do you want to talk a little bit about sleepwalking?
Let's talk about sleepwalking.
So I always find this really interesting because, you know, I put people to sleep every day for general anesthesia.
Oh, I thought you meant with their personality. And I was like, that is true.
No, actually, I just use your jokes. So, and usually that's
why I was yawning in the beginning of the podcast. So
I thought you were yawning because you're a boring person.
But no one bores themselves.
So anyway, with sleepwalking, I feel like you would probably know more about this than me because you sleepwalk.
I am a very active sleepwalker.
But people can move and, you know, have different reactions at different stages of sleep. The stage of sleep I'm used to seeing people in is they're so deep that they don't react to surgical stimulus, right?
Right.
That's pretty crazy. So when I hear something like Randy's riding his bike while he's asleep, that doesn't make sense to me. But apparently sleepwalkers, they're not awake mentally, but their motor function. Some, I don't know if I'd say aware. Maybe some are.
I'm at more like body awareness. Not,
yeah, there's body awareness.
Not like conscious.
Cognizant. Aware. Yeah, they're not cognizant. So usually they'll do activities that you might do throughout the day, like pouring yourself a cup of coffee, getting dressed, like some even say driving a car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh yeah.
So that you'll do things that like your body repetitively does. Now, they always used to think that people were acting out their dreams. Like that was kind of the stereotype of sleepwalking. But what it really seems to be is more like your brain is having you go through the motions like while you're asleep.
Yeah.
Now, this I found really interesting and applicable to this case. Things that increase sleepwalking, like increase your risk for sleepwalking, especially alcohol. If you already have a history of sleepwalking, increased stress, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, certain medications, and PTSD. So in this case, Randy had increased stress, depression, anxiety, and substance abuse.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
Potentially PTSD, you know, just basing on the fact that, you know, he had an unstable home life. But I mean, I just found that really interesting that it's like, I mean, I might see how the psychiatrist came to this conclusion, you know, like,
he I mean, be a candidate. Yeah, I don't disparage that all of those factors can cause someone who with a history of sleepwalking to sleepwalk. Here's my thing. And maybe this is just incredibly biased of me, but I always have trouble when people discuss sleepwalking because, in my opinion, there are a lot of myths about it. And even like when psychiatrists talk about it, like until you really experience sleepwalking, you have really no idea what the patient is experiencing. Like,
yes, tell us.
So I'm a very active sleepwalker, and all of those factors that you just listed with stress, alcohol, any of it definitely amplifies it. But here's the thing. So I am a deep sleepwalker. Like, I'm the one who cannot really wake up. And the thing about sleepwalkers is it's dangerous to wake someone up who's sleepwalking because
That's
they can act out violently because they're scared.
so that's kind of a misconception. It's dangerous because they can react, but it's not dangerous to them, right? Like, it's
Right,
not like you're
correct.
never going to be the same, or
Yeah.
you're going to take a long time to wake up. It's just like you don't they're disoriented,
Yeah,
right?
imagine you go and lay your head down to sleep, and then you're like suddenly in the hallway. Like, it's terrifying. It's like you teleported.
Yeah.
And that's happened before. Megan had to wake me up one time when I was sleepwalking, and it was the scariest moment of my life. Like, I started hitting the walls. Like, you get scared, like, you're terrified.
Right. But would you say the motions that you were able to do were intentional movements?
No. So they're intentional in the fact that I hit the wall because that's where my arms were flailing. But if I had to hit a circular, let's say bullseye on the wall, I could never do that. No way.
Have you watched Dead Asleep recently?
I have.
What did you think of Randy himself?
Like as a person or as like the sleepwalking defense?
Just how was his demeanor? I thought he came off as very credible and very sorry.
Oh, I think he was incredibly remorseful.
Yes.
I don't, here's the thing. I think he is genuinely very sad that he killed his friend. I don't think he was sleepwalking.
Okay.
You know what I
So,
mean?
yes, because people who kill their, like, for example, mothers who kill their children are remorseful.
Yeah, I mean,
It doesn't mean they
remorse
didn't
doesn't
do
equal
it.
innocence. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, so here's my thing with the sleepwalking thing is that yes, there are I looked it up, there are an incredible amount of studies that show that sleepwalkers can be violent. However, the addendum in that is that most of the time sleepwalkers are not violent until they're woken up because they're scared, right? Now,
Right.
there have been cases of people killing someone while they're sleepwalking. I haven't dove into them, admittedly. So I really don't know much about
I have
it.
one.
Go for it. Tell me about it.
Okay. So this one you may have heard of. I actually heard of it on Forensic Files, and it was pitched as like this is such an idiotic bullshit like excuse, but when I heard it like from like a different perspective, that was very like this is very possible. This guy loved his wife. So if you're familiar with this story, many of you might be very familiar with it. Scott Fellater was a devout Mormon, murdered his wife, Yarma Fellater, by stabbing her in the middle of the night. It was and then holding her head underwater in the pool. So basically, his story was he was fixing, or his wife told him around 9 o'clock, like, oh, hey, the pool filter is acting up. It's acting weird. Can you go take a look at it? He went over to the pool, tinkered with it a little bit. He's like, I have to do this in the morning. This is not gonna be fixed tonight. She's like, okay, fine. Then next thing you know, he claims he came to like at the police station, like he like or when the police showed up at his door. So this is a really screwed up story. He stabbed his wife multiple times, and then she's laying dead outside the pool. The neighbors hear like a ruckus, and they see this, and then they see him drag her body over and hold her head underwater and drown her. So they call the cops. At first, I was like, why did they go help him? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
they're
not
witnessing
doing
a
that.
murder.
I'm not gonna go over there and
Fuck no,
interfere and get
absolutely
stabbed.
not.
I'm
Nope.
gonna not do that. I'm so sorry, but I'm not doing that. I don't. So the neighbor actually saw him put gloves on. This was January 16th, 1997. He saw him put gloves on before holding her head underwater. And the parents and siblings of Scott Fellater reported that he had a history of sleepwalking. And this is where it gets kind of tricky, right? So the police show up to his house. They're like, you know, get on the ground. I'm pointing guns at him. He's like, what the hell's going on? And they're like, you know, who's in the house with you? And he's like, my two kids and my wife, right? He doesn't know that she's dead. And this guy, he comes off as very like like, this guy, he seems like a nice guy. I bet you, you know, he's probably telling the truth. This is where it gets fucked up. Blader tried to conceal evidence by hiding a knife, bloody clothes, boots and gloves and undergarments in his car. The police found it. He had changed his bloody clothes. They were all in a Tupperware container in his car. I think just the undergarments were in a Tupperware container. I don't know why. Also, between the stabbing and the drowning, the witnesses saw Flater motion towards their dog, like to the dog to like lie down. So, like the dog was like getting like restless and like disturbed by what's going on. He's like, lay down. And then, so the jury naturally found him guilty of first degree murder in 1999.
Yeah, as they should. Okay, right. So here's my thing. I have sleepwalked at least 100 times. Okay, I was a really active sleepwalker when I was a kid. It has transcended into adulthood. It's a little bit more controlled now. But here's, and this could just be unique to me, but I have never come to from sleepwalking. I wake up like on the floor or like recently my kitchen counter, but I've always like returned to some surface that I can lay down or sit up in. I've never been standing or any of that when I've like come to. So when Randy says that the next thing he remembers is like standing over her dead body with the knife, I'm like, no fucking way. Because first of all, whenever you come to, and I'm saying that in quotes, it's fucking terrifying when it's like unexpected. Like I've woken up, like it's different when you wake up and you're like on the floor, on the counter. You're like, oh shit, like I slept off. But the one time that like I was woken up from sleepwalking, it's panic filled. It is not, you're not, you can't just stand there and be like, wait, what's happening? What's going on? This is crazy. No, it's terrifying. You were in bed a second ago in your mind. This was a second. Imagine if you blinked and you're in another room. It's terrifying.
Yeah, now I think Randy would say that was terrifying and he didn't know what was going on. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure he was standing, but I think he was.
He said standing. He said he was standing over her body.
I see. So the reason I brought up the Scott Flader case is because that is like one of the most recent famous examples of a sleepwalking defense. Did not go so well, as we'll find out, did not go so well for Randy as well. Now, a lot of people say since he had said goodbye to Brooke and went back to sleep, that's just simply not enough time to get to the stage of sleep he would need. I don't know if I agree with that because I fall asleep and I can have a dream even if I sleep for 5 or 10 minutes. So you're not supposed to be able to do that. You're not supposed to be able to get to REM sleep in 5 or 10 minutes, but some people do. I actually wanted to look, I looked up what stage of sleep can sleepwalking occur. You know, there's stage 1, 2, 3, 4.
Isn't it
stage
REM
one
sleep?
And two. Yeah. So stage 1 and 2, I think it's right before REM sleep because during REM sleep, your muscles are paralyzed.
Right.
So stage 1 and 2 are theta waves. Stage 3 is delta waves, which is, I think general anesthesia is actually theta and delta waves. I should know this because I'm taking boards in a couple months. Now stage 4 is called delta sleep. And this, you know, this is more like general anesthesia. deepest stage of sleep, most difficult to be awakened from. This is where sleepwalking, sleep talk, snacking, and night terrors occur. So apparently, so sleepwalking is called a dyssomnia or a parasomnia or something.
Parasomnia.
Yeah. And apparently teeth grinding is a type of dyssomnia. I didn't know that because I do that.
I have all of this.
yeah, right. So it's just kind of interesting. Like he'd have to get from stage 0, which is awake, all the way to stage 4.
Yeah.
But like I said, like REM, what did I say? I think it takes like 45 minutes to get into REM sleep or something. I've had REM sleep within 5 or 10 minutes, you know? So I think it's possible. REM sleep is after that stage.
So, yeah, let's talk about how much time we have here. So for those listening, what Lindsay's talking about is that because of neighborhood surveillance, like video surveillance, we know definitively that Brooke got to the house at 8:30 a.m. and Randy left with her car at 8:52 a.m. So the whole thing had to take place within 22 minutes. So in that 22 minutes, Randy claims that she came into the bedroom. She grabbed the shirt because he didn't get out of bed. And then they hugged. She walked out. And then he said he came to and he was standing over her dead body. And he grabbed his keys, but he couldn't start his car because he was still too drunk to start it because he had a blow machine.
That's right.
And so then he had to go back inside, grab her keys, and take her car to the park. Also, he covered the body as well. He covered it with a quilt. So all of this had to happen in 22 minutes. As someone who is an active sleepwalker, when you wake up from sleepwalking abruptly, and in this case, he must have because he was standing, it takes like at least 3 or 4 minutes to come to complete consciousness before you can like do anything. Because when you are first waking up, when you're sleepwalking, at least for me, colors are weird still. You're like trying to get out of a dream state. You're trying to go back into like a consciously aware state. So we also have to think that it needs to take him like 3 or 4 minutes for his brain to fully process what he's even looking at. Before he has the motor skills to like run away.
Maybe that's when he remembered. Maybe it did take 3 minutes and then and now he's there, right? Like now he sees it. Maybe it
possibly
did.
But that takes another 3 or 4 minutes out of an already very small chunk of time.
Yeah, I forgot that he had the breathalyzer from the DUIs, and I forgot that I didn't realize it was that quick. I thought it was a little bit longer, but some of the experts say that he may have dreamed that Brooke showed up.
Yes.
And he gave her the shirt.
That's
I could see that
very
happening.
Possible. Yes, that is very possible.
That would make more sense than he fell asleep. Now, what that would mean is she woke him up and he's in his story. She shows up, she wakes him up. He's not woken up. He's sleepwalking and he starts stabbing her with his hunting knife that he kept next to his bed.
Right.
So from what I it was really hard to find information on violent sleepwalking.
It's a very niche thing that people are very unsure of.
And also just sleepwalking in general is not like super, like I didn't look for like too many scholarly articles. I was just looking for like university lectures and I found like one. Like
it's
there was
hard
like
to research because the best way to research it is sleep studies, but you can't guarantee that the participant in the sleep study is going to sleepwalk.
And they're also not in a familiar environment. So it's like, they might not, like it wouldn't be necessarily the same, but anyway, I didn't find a lot of information about sleepwalking, but it sounded like doing purposeful movements was not always the case. Now, when I say purposeful movements, I mean things like when they're interrupted, you know, the way you interact with your environment, like you can't see. So for him to be able to like stab her that many times,
there's
chasing
no way.
Her down,
there's
like,
no way.
Like that's pretty crazy.
I've sleepwalked like so many times. I've had it recorded. I've had people tell me what I did. There is no fucking way. I'm sorry. Like I, just from like what my wife tells me about when I sleepwalk, you're basically just a really, really dumb human. Like you're just dumping around.
Yeah.
Like being
Well, your
dumb.
Brain is turned off except for your motor skills. Now, but then how do people go from that to like, oh, you can like make a cup of coffee or like,
you absolutely can,
you know,
yeah.
Get dressed.
Because these are things that you do every
all
single
the time.
Day of your life.
Okay. And
so
you're not
you're,
like
hardwired for it.
Yeah. I think also
it's completely instinctual.
Like he's a big guy. I obviously like I know this might be controversial in this day and age for some reason, but men are stronger than women, if you don't believe that. Like, I'm sorry, like you're not, we probably shouldn't have a conversation ever because you're not gonna like talking to me. Also, working in the medical field, you see so many things that you're like, oh yeah, that's true. And people are like, that's not true. It's like, oh my God. But anyway, he would be really hard to fight off. She was a tiny girl.
Yeah.
I think she was like a flyer for cheerleading. Like, think that's kind of tiny. She wouldn't stand a chance fighting him off. But if he was sleepwalking and he doesn't even know what he's looking at, like she could just walk away or, you know, but I don't know, man. Like I've just never interacted with a sleepwalker too much.
All I know is that, I mean, like, here's the thing. Yeah, sleepwalkers are definitely more capable of things than people would think. Like, I've taken a full-on shower while sleepwalking. Like, it's okay. Definitely possible. But, like, a lot of those things are things that we do every day that is, like, more instinct-based than it's is, routine. Like, thoughtful-based, right?
Right.
But, like, so I've taken a shower while sleepwalking, but in the same vein, I've had Megan tell me that I tried to pour myself a, like, glass of apple juice when I was sleeping, and I just poured the apple juice on the counter. Like, just everywhere. Like,
okay, so you're like a toddler.
Yeah, so, like, in some way you're coordinating, others you're not. But, like,
yeah,
the idea of being able to stab someone 20 times and, like, see, like, what I was curious about with this case was, so they had hardwood floors, and I was curious on if there were any knife marks, like, in the hardwood floors from missing the mm-hmm. target, and I didn't see anything about it, which tells me that there wasn't. So you're saying right. that this guy did it 20 times
mm-hmm. without very missing intentionally.
A beat within minutes. This had to have right. happened within minutes, no matter how you what you slice it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I like I said, I found Randy to be very likable, very credible. But unfortunately, like, where I stand on this, I think that she showed up. She was not happy to really see him. She was mad about what he did the night before. May have had an attitude or even nicely been like, hey, what the fuck was that? Like, you have a problem. Or what you did was crazy. You can't stand in my room naked. And he might be like, well, is it so crazy? I mean, I've been in love with you for years. Like, is it so crazy that, like, we might get involved someday? And she rejects him and he blacks out because he's in a rage.
I don't think
he stabs
out.
Her. I think it's possible he blacked out, stabs her to death, and then that's why he doesn't remember, is because he blacked out.
I'm sorry, were you
no continuing? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. Then he kind of like I he did it, he covers the body. I mean, that's, you don't, like, I don't know, you go ahead.
Oh, I thoroughly do not believe he blacked out. I think he did not go to sleep. Like, since she left, I don't think he ever went to bed. I think he was humiliated because she saw his naked body and basically screamed and ran
rejected
away.
Him.
Yeah, and I think he stayed up all night overthinking that and, like, fuming about it. Because one thing I've really learned, like, recently is that, like, men who feel rejected or, like, humiliated get angry. Like, a fiery rage, kind of angry. If for some reason, and maybe I'll look into the psychology a little bit more about it, but, like, it's a big trigger for a lot of men, especially someone like Randy, whose, like, dad was shitty and who was always poor and always had all these troubles. And then, like, this happens, you know? I think
and he
she
sees
came
himself
back.
As a nice guy. He thinks yeah. he's a nice guy.
Yeah. And I think she came back for, you know, the t-shirt or whatever, and he got pissed and he stabbed her a bunch of times. And here's I think once he, like, because 20 stabbings is an emotional kill. Like, that is like a, I know this
yes.
person,
yes, yes, yes.
I'm filled with rage. And I think the second it was over and he got all of his rage out from the humiliation and embarrassment of the night before, he was like, oh fuck, like, what did I do? And he covered the body. And here is a theory that I have. So he gets in his car and gets into her car and drives to the park to call the police. And no one ever, like, really talked about, like, maybe why he did that. A lot of people assume that it was too hard for him to be in the house. I think he was going to ditch the car and actually try to get away with this, and then got too scared and called the police. I think he drove the car to the park to try to think of a way to, like, get rid of her car and her body and, like, get away with it. And then he was like, fuck, I have no idea what to do. So
yeah, also he could, I mean, it's in his house, and he also could just run, and he probably couldn't start his car. Mm-hmm. And then he gets in her car and he's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. I don't, and I have to go back into the house and her body's there. Like, I think the odds of him, like, having blacked out or not blacked out, but then deciding to run.
Out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he seemed really, like, I don't know. I guess
he didn't seem really anything. He barely talked.
No, I mean,
and that's
in his interview on the documentary Dead Asleep, he seemed very, like, he didn't seem like what I thought he would be based on Kendall Ray's video.
So, yeah, but crimes of passion are always kind of like that. Like, how
many
times?
Thing. You could be a perfectly nice, wonderful person and still be capable of committing a crime of passion. I think most Absolutely. People are capable of killing if they really have to or if they really want to.
Same.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate, but...
Yeah. I just don't think he blacked out or anything. I think he was tragically embarrassed. I think that when the police interrogated him, he made sure to say as little as possible. I think the psychiatrist saying sleepwalking gave him the out that he wanted. And I think his mom fucking ran with it. And I do not think he sleptwalked as a child. I think all of that is completely made up.
Really?
Absolutely. And here's my reasoning is one, Jordan and her family, so Brooke's family, have said that they've known him since he was a kid and has never once seen him sleepwalk or heard him talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. And I thought that that was strange because as someone who's a sleepwalk, I was always paranoid I would sleepwalk around other people who like weren't people that I lived with. Like, it's something I talk about quite a lot. I'd like anytime my friends spend the night or I spend the night out on the hotels, I always say like, hey, I'm an active sleepwalker. I sleptwalked like my whole childhood. It stopped for like a few years and then it like started up again. You know,
hide your knives.
Yes, it's really something that you have to like think about, you know. And even if he hadn't had a sleepwalking episode since he was a kid, it's still something you think about and talk about because it is traumatizing in a way and it's weird and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know anybody really who sleepwalks besides you, but I'm thinking like I grind my teeth. Mm-hmm. I also do the, like, I sleep talk. Like, my whole family knows this stuff about me. Like, but I don't know that, like, I would, like, this would come up in conversation with my friends. Actually, all of my friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about Rena.
I was going to say. Well, and these weren't just, like, random friends. Like, these are people he grew up with, presumably, while he was a kid and was having those sleepwalking issues. So, like, and also, his mom, the way she describes his sleepwalking as a kid is not accurate.
But can your eyes be open while you're sleepwalking?
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. I mean, people can fall asleep with their eyes open. I've done that before, too.
That's also fucking weird. My cat did that once.
Oh, God, that's creepy. Yeah, I don't buy the sleepwalking thing. I think the mom totally fucking lied about him having a history about it. I think the psychiatrist unknowingly fed them their defense. And I'm glad that he was found guilty and that the defense was stupid. Because also, too, if we're going to argue that, like, alcohol and stuff, like, forces, like, sleepwalking to be, like, a lot worse, it seems really improbable that he could live with both of them for a year and no one noticed him sleepwalking.
Maybe. It sounds like he was up all the time, like all night and stuff, partying. I guess,
do you know how much noise I make when I'm sleepwalking?
What else was there? I was gonna say, I think him just pulling that I don't remember thing could also just be a way of completely avoiding any culpability or responsibility.
Yeah.
Where they say, oh, what were you doing hiding in your closet naked? I don't remember.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Why did you drive to the park? I don't remember.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something you see quite frequently. I mean, look at like when the Ramseys were interviewed and they only said, I don't recall over and over again. Like, it's just something you can say. Like, I think he was shook up. I think he was remorseful. I don't think he blacked out. And I don't think he was sleepwalking.
Damn. Well, like, I can look at a case like Scott Fullader and be like, when I heard him talk about it, I was like, wow, he seems really believable. And then I like hear that he hid evidence. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, for sure. So like in a case like this, I mean, is it such a far-fetched to say, like, you know, didn't they charge him with first degree murder though? Which I think is an overcharge.
Second degree murder.
He got life for second degree murder?
Mm-hmm, because he didn't take the plea, yeah.
Dumb move.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
wait, he was arrested for second degree murder and then he did the not guilty plea, which put him into first degree murder.
That's
like if it was But there was a reason for it though. It wasn't random. I just can't remember. The dog's outside.
Oh, like the, well, I don't see any careful planning here.
Either way, well, first
it
of all,
it is kind of weird that we penalize first degree differently than second degree, as if we're saying like, oh, if you passionately kill someone, we almost like excuse it a little bit. Like that's even more dangerous, I think.
Yeah, but think about the cases where someone wants to commit suicide and they jump in front of a car.
Sure.
You know.
What is that? What does that mean? What are you talking about?
I don't because understand. The person in the car can get tried for murder.
Oh, no. Oh, that's stupid. You shouldn't be tried because someone decided to end their life and involve you. Like, that's an asshole move, first of all.
Yeah, but how could you, like, prove, you know what I mean?
I don't know. But anyway, my point was, with second-degree murder, like, someone who just snaps and kills someone, I feel like that's way more dangerous than someone that thoughtfully and carefully plans something out.
I agree.
Like there, and here's what I was, I remember talking to my husband about this. We talked about this case, and I was like, here is the conclusion I came to. If Randy is so dangerous that he can go to sleep and murder someone while he's asleep, then he's probably where he belongs. He's not safe to be out in the world putting us at risk. So that's kind of how I've reconciled this case, is whether he's guilty or innocent, he murdered someone and he has to take responsibility, and we have to keep the public safe. We can't let people who murder be out on the streets, even if they're murdering someone while they're not awake. Now, you might say, well, you know, he was born that way, blah, blah, blah. Well, alcoholics are born that way, and they also put people at danger. And that's why we lock, you know, people up who drive while drunk, because it's not safe to let someone who doesn't have that internal reckoning available at all times, you know? So I don't know.
So as we wrap up, I want everyone to go to our Facebook page and talk about what you think. Do you think Randy was sleepwalking? Do you think that's a reasonable defense? Are you a sleepwalker who has vastly different experiences than I do and want to share them? Hit up our Facebook page. I'm getting better at promoting it. It's Listen Carefully, the JonBenet story. The JonBenet
Ramsey story. It still says JonBenet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Should I change it to just Listen Carefully?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to Facebook, Listen Carefully, the JonBenet story, like, comment, and understand that the title is going to be changing soon. but go comment and like it anyway.
All right, y'all.
Wait, what's the Instagram handle?
Listen Carefully Podcast.
Sweet. All right. Please keep messaging us, talking to us, and listening to us.
Also, I don't think we ever say our names, like, except the first episode.
Well, we do. I talked about, like, people.
I don't say your name.
We say each other's names.
I guess. I don't really say your name very often. Do people even know who you are?
Yes, because we talked about, like, Sam, people being, like, Team Sam.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right. They probably should know who we are at this point. Okay.
We should probably start introducing ourselves
more. Yeah. Also, don't forget to tell us what cases you want to see us do.
Us, Sam and Lindsay.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah, cases that have controversial verdicts, have, you know, lack of a case at all when there should be, or the wrong person has been charged, whatever you think. What are we covering next? Are we going to announce it? Are we going to cover? Are we going to cover Adnan Syed?
I'm so excited. I'm going to need a second to like truly research this, but this is about to be a three-parter for sure. Oh,
shit. You know, it's so funny, at least. What's so funny about this case is I had never heard of it until you were like, you need to listen to this case. And I, honestly, it's one of the most compelling love stories.
It's not a love story. It's not
the journalist and Adnan, that she's able to find someone
like
who cares for her, and she accepts him even though he's a felon.
That is not. I get what you're saying.
Am I wrong?
Sarcastic though. Anyways, yes, we want to cover Adnan Syed. I'm really excited to cover it. So that's going to be next. We're going to dive into Serial and the story of Edna and Saeed and Haman Lee.
And I'll sing us off. Or you are.
Can I beatbox you off? Like, can I beatbox and then you, like, sing on top of the beatboxing?
No, because I'll just end up trying to rap and it's really not good.
Oh, even better.
I really can't rap. It sounds like crap. No, I can't. I suck. Okay. Don't believe everything you hear in documentaries.
Nice.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, not bad.
I thought you were going to sing about my sleepwalking, but that's fine.
Oh. Oh, I don't know. I've been holding on to that one the whole episode, so I don't know.
That's hilarious. Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.